Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the quiet sounds of the Quote the Raven podcast. I'll be your host for the evening, Quote the Raven. Today, we'll be reading some light poetry and discussing discounted cash flow models over the course of a half hour. Psych! What's up, motherfuckers? We got Mark Spiegel in the motherfucking house and a three-day weekend. Oh my God. I can just feel it through the microphone. So many of you guys are drunk already. But if you're not, I do encourage a two-drink minimum for this podcast, so I want to come right out and say that right up front. That's number one. Number two, I'm not an investment advisor. I'm a degenerate. So, I hold no licenses. I hold no registrations. This is not financial advice. And if, personally, I feel like if you use this podcast as financial advice, you deserve to lose everything that you own and wind up in a dumpster. That's number two. Number three, this podcast is brought to you by my patrons. Patrons are the fine bucks that sign up on Patreon, and they donate a steady recurring sum to support the QTR podcast. They are the engine behind this podcast. They're the reason that I come up here and drag my ass up here to talk to people about shit, even on days like today when I'm sick and I don't really want to do it because I don't really feel well, but I know we got a long weekend coming up and I probably won't be around and I could probably still be in bed. So I want to get it done now, and my patrons are the people that really motivate me to keep bringing it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, whatever it is that I'm doing. I don't know what it is. Frequency-wise, you guys can figure it out with some graph papers and some TI-82s and get back to me on that, and I'm sure you will. With all of that being said, I would like to acknowledge some of my ballin'-ass Patreons, like the fine folks over at Quantamize.com, Quantamize.com. Quantamize.com has an AI-powered platform that scans over 10,000 stocks, options, cryptos, and basically gives you hedge fund quality quantitative analysis for the retail degenerate investor like you and like me. Isn't that nice of them? There's a free trial link in my podcast description. You can check it out. Their website's awesome. It looks basically like you've entered the Matrix when you go on their website. I also want to shout out my fine friend Scott Corsi, the author of Debt Slave Economics. Big patron coming through. Some of my newest patrons in the house. This guy listed his name as Chris Irons Jr. Sure as hell hope to God that he is not my son, because that would alter some major plans that I have, not only for this weekend, but also for probably the next 10 to 20 years. I also want to shout out my friend David Tipton. Just dropped in for the first time. Sean Dellinger's in the house. My brother David is in the house. Andreas Adams just showed up. Thank you so much. Greg Kroll, what is up, brother? Bryce Kiefer. Fat Tony, hey, how the fuck you doing, Fat Tony? Matt Campbell, Chi-Chi's from the Coconuts in the house. The fucks over at the Tesla Q podcast. By the way, support them. And I always say up front, folks, this is not a Tesla podcast. This is a financial podcast. Yes, we'll talk about Tesla today. Yes, we talk about Tesla often. But this is not an all Tesla podcast. So maybe if you're looking for that and you're not getting what you need from the Q man here, you can go over to the Tesla Q podcast and they can finish you off, if you know what I'm saying. Marco Vitti's in the house. Jura Billis is in the house. Michael Hahn, Ned DeLorme, Lloyd Waldo, Taylor Duran. Wow, got a lot of brand new patrons. Want to shout out also some people that have been patrons of mine for a minute, which, by the way, if you don't listen to Hot 97, is urban slang for quite a long time. Chris Beat, I already mentioned. Chris Boas, Andre Gagnon, Russ Valenti, my brother Robert Mizello's in the house. Who else do I got? Let's see. Max Mulvihill has been dead. Max Mulvihill was my first patron. What is up, Max Mulvihill? That gives you a gold fucking star from me. Max Mulvihill, a name that will go down in infamy. Ryan Dichkowski, whatever. Hey, how are you? Not trying to do too much here on a fucking Friday with these names. Jesus Christ. Austin Winrow, what's up? Ethan Watkins, Andre Kahin, Rod Brooks, how you doing, brother? Jesus Guzman, what's going on, brother? Walter Bolthouse is in the house. Adam Pedraja, still hanging after like 6 months. Appreciate that shit, brother. And who else we got? Let me just shout out maybe two more people, and then we will get on with it. Like, what you fucks names do I want? James Tombor, what's up, brother? James Tombor has been down since October 10th, 2018. Thanks, brother. I appreciate the shit out of you. FlowAlgo.com, what's going on? Steamburger, I always say what's up to you. How about Jim Tilton? Great bowler, great human being. VerifiedExchange.com, okay. Let's get on with it, folks. I'm pushing your limits as to the amount of garbage and bullshit and nonsense that you guys can take without actually getting to content. And I just explained to somebody yesterday on a phone call that I never want to do that. I never want to load the podcast up with unlistenable shit because I hate when people do that. So I will have my ads always very short. Hopefully it'll only be patrons. And folks, as we know, the less ads I have, the more time we have for fellow degenerates like my friend Mark Spiegel from Stanfield Capital. Hello, Mark.
How are you doing? I'm degenerating here in New York. How's the degeneration going on your end?
It's going well. Trust me, I'm holding up my end of the degeneration bargain. Although I'm a little nervous that we just had you on like three episodes ago, and so this is gonna. I don't want people to think this is gonna turn into the Mark Spiegel Tesla podcast. Although today it's definitely gonna turn into the Mark Spiegel Tesla podcast again.
Well, I mean, let's face it. This company is like never out of the news. So it's not your fault. Just blame it on Elon Musk.
Well, and also, too, I had so many people text me and email me that they wanted a podcast today. And I was just saying during the introduction that I feel kind of like under the weather today. But we got this long weekend coming up, and I felt like, who's not doing anything tonight that I could text and in 5 minutes will definitely get back to me and do it? And sure as shit, I sent you a text, you know, at like 10 minutes ago, like, hey, you want to do a podcast? You're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I got no fucking life. Wow. I live in front of screens. That's it.
Dude, you know what? I do too, and I have a feeling some of the rest of the degenerates that listen to this podcast do as well. So, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, Mark.
You know, you're like, the way you call your fan base degenerates, you're like Lady Gaga. What does she call her fans? She's got some name for them, like an affectionate derogatory name. What does she call them?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
How am I supposed to know that?
I don't know. I thought you were kind of a musician kind of guy. Someone out there will know that, or I'll think of it. You know, if this were a call-in show, you could like take a call right now and you'd have the answer. But
I am. I'm taking a call right now, and it's from you, and that's about all I can. It's about all I can handle.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I thought since Tesla laid off 7% of its staff this morning, it announced that we would talk about that. And here's the first point that I wanted to bring up. All right. And here's the question I wanted to ask you that I was kind of carrying around in my head all day today. And I'd like to know your answer on this. Doesn't it seem like, and I actually asked somebody else this today, I feel like with the convert coming due in March, right? And for those that don't know, the stock price on a convertible debt issuance usually has to reach a certain point for the company to be able to pay back the debt and return the debt to the people that lent the money in shares instead of in cash. And so for Tesla, ostensibly, that would be the best case scenario, one would think, assuming that their cash position is not strong, which is what I'm assuming. With that coming up, and I just thought it was strange that the company came out and did this, because I have to me, it just feels like the old Tesla might have waited on coming out to do this. To me, it feels like Tesla a year ago or 2 years ago would not have come out and cut guidance, which leads me to believe one of several things. And this is all just speculation, right? I'm just kind of talking out of my ass. But one, either the board of directors has found Jesus and they've determined that, look, we are going to have a shit quarter and we need to do what we're supposed to do, which is inform the market as soon as we know that the quarter is going to miss, which is really what companies are supposed to do. Either that happened or the company is coming out and sandbagging because they want to beat this number and they want the stock to rip on that. But to me, it seems weird for them to come out and surrender that the quarter is not going to be as good as people think. And I actually think the likely scenario is, because if you read into what they said this morning with the layoffs, which are seem to be definitely happening, and the lowered guidance, if you read into that, it sure seems like Q1 is going to be a wreck. So the question is, why does the company do this now? Well, you know, are they playing by the rules finally, or are they sandbagging? I don't get it. It just doesn't seem like a move Tesla would ever do, lowering guidance.
You mean what you're saying is it doesn't seem like a move a legitimate public company would ever do?
Public company would do this.
I said that backwards. What I'm saying is it doesn't seem like Tesla, as if Tesla would ever do what a legitimate public company would do.
Right.
And And the answer is correct, and I have a few potential explanations. One is the SEC is really riding herd over these guys, and they have a new SEC a corporate counsel who is this criminal defense lawyer guy, and he might be enforcing this. And the other thing is, if they were laying off 7,000 people today or whatever the number was, 7%, sorry, there's no question word of that is going to get out to media. So you better have an explanation for that. And, you know, if you lie about the explanation and say, oh, no, everything is great, you're just setting yourself up, for yet another lawsuit. And it's also possible, by the way, that the auditors are making them do this in some way, so they don't get a going concern letter. So I think there's a lot of people who just want to cover their asses on the potential liability, and they're not willing to deal with the bullshit about it from Musk anymore. They're basically just, hey, you're going to say this or we're going to say it for you.
So you think one way or another their hand is being forced?
Well, yeah.
Some degree.
I mean, one way or another, Elon Musk's hand is being forced, I think is the way to say it. I mean, there are probably legitimate people working at that company who don't feel their hand is forced at all. They're feeling this is what they would have been doing right along if Musk hadn't prevented it.
Yeah, and what this leads me to ask is what I put out on Twitter this morning, right? Which is, let's just forget about the lowered guidance and the fact that in order to keep this asinine valuation, the company should be a growth story, which more layoffs and lowered guidance is not a growth story. So how long the market can reconcile with this valuation remains to be seen. Like I said, I think that's why the stock got assholed today by $45. My question is, with regard to the staff, right? Right now, all we're seeing are complaints about people taking their car in for service and not getting it back in time. They're complaining about the quality of the vehicles. They just had this airbag recall a couple of days ago. But primarily, one of the overriding concerns, also aside from people not getting their refunds for canceled Model 3 orders, which is happening, is that in terms of service and in terms of upkeep and staying in touch with customers after the vehicle is sold and the money's collected, there doesn't really seem to be much happening. A lot of people are getting upset about that. So my question is, and these are people that have had their cars in the shop for a month, 2 months, weeks at a time. They haven't heard back from the company. My question is, with more layoffs, right, how thin can the company stretch itself? How thin is it going to be able to stretch its production line? Like, how is that going to affect the quality of vehicles that come off the line? How is it going to affect people's ability to get service for their vehicles? And how is it going to affect the well-being of the employees? How many people's slack can employees pick up before everybody is overwhelmed?
Well, of course. So let's take a step back, and because you talked about the stock a few times. You used a crude term I would never personally use. But, the guys who own this, the institutions that own this, they are what they used to call in this in the 1960s, go-go growth funds, right? They don't give a shit about anything fundamental about the company as long as there's a quote-unquote great growth story there, right? That great growth story is over. And these, view from 150,000 feet, Bailey Gifford type guys, or, I don't know who else, Ron Barron, or, he's a relatively small guy, or, T. Rowe had sold a bunch lately, but they still probably have a lot, those kind of guys, the growth guys, they have to sell this now. This growth story is over, man. And to your point, they don't have enough people now to service the cars they're selling. All these people are driving around with temporary license tags. Now, that could be deliberate on the part of Tesla. They could be actually kiting the state sales tax. It's possible. You don't pay the sales tax in many places until you get the permanent registration. So they could actually be just, using that cash. But at any rate, they're obviously grotesquely understaffed. Musk got on Twitter a couple of months ago, I think 3 months ago, something like that, and promised all kinds of new service centers, all kinds of new superchargers. They haven't done shit, And you read online, how it takes a month to get an appointment. It takes multiple months to get your car fixed because Tesla doesn't have enough parts for the body shops, in terms of getting your car fixed for collision. So it's an absolute disaster. And they're laying these people off. And I just saw a report today, and I haven't verified it, so it could be wrong, but they're laying off engineers, too. It's not just a matter of service people. And, you know, there's no growth story here. I mean, how the hell are these guys going to build, you know, build and test, which they've never done before, but they sure as shit better test any vehicle in the future. How are they going to build and test, you know, a Model Y, you know, a semi, which nobody will want anyway? All those press releases are bullshit. They're greenwashing, you know, corporate press releases. You know, a pickup truck, you know, a factory in China, which they still haven't explained how it's going to be financed. There's no money there, right? So there's no growth story here. And you know, the one thing that Schmuck City Fraud Boy, as I affectionately call Elon Musk, the one thing he worked into that press release was, we need to fire all these people so that we can increase production, right, of the Model 3, so we can build, you know, a less expensive model. Well, you know, the problem is not production, dude. The problem is demand. You only built an average, according to your numbers, which may even be bullshit, of 4,700 a week in Q4, and you wound up with like 7,000 in inventory, again, by Tesla's numbers, just doing simple math. But he still tries to promulgate, I don't know what the word is, the myth.
Promulgate.
Right, okay, thank you. The myth.
You're welcome. If you need anything else, just let me know.
The myth that Tesla's problem is production, and, you know, they have unlimited demand and they can't build enough for demand. It's total bullshit. They're choking on inventory. The other interesting thing in that memo this morning is they're once again pushing way back the possibility of the $35,000 car. Like they say, like, you know, mid-year, I think they said, they have to start trying to deliver the medium-range cars to Europe, right? Well, originally, the cheap car was going to be out last year, right? But more recently, the cheap car was going to be out in the spring. And obviously, that's not going to happen, you know? Yes. Now it sounds as if they're pushing it back to the end of this year, by which time there will be no tax credit in January for them. But, you know, I suspect we'll never see it. I don't see how they can get a break-even number on this car much below, maybe like $39,000 or something like that, you know, before options. So, you know, if they do build it, they won't make any money on it anyway. So what the hell's the difference other than...
They're also up against the inflation clock, right? Like, it's 3 years now it has been since they promised a $35,000 Model 3. Just think about that. If you're one of these fucks that put down money on the original Model 3 when this dude came out, I think it was March 2016 when he first unveiled it, and said he was going to have a $35,000 Model 3 before incentive, right? This was going to be it. This was the everyday, everyman car, right? It has now, you are now approaching 3 years, okay, without a vehicle. 3 years. If you had gone back and told those people when that reveal took place that it would be 3 years later, they still wouldn't have a vehicle and there wouldn't be much of a timeline for a vehicle, and many people weren't getting refunds when they canceled orders, and the company was laying off people to, you know, to quote unquote ramp up production or whatever they're doing, you know, do you think people would still have put the money down? The answer is fuck no, of course not. And, you know, weren't they supposed to be doing 10,000 cars a week by the end of last year? How many promises are, you know, is this guy allowed to miss?
Right. Well, all right. So that's, you're asking a bigger question there, but specifically, yes, it was in 2017.
Oh, it was 2017?
You know, in 2017, he said, there is one thing about which you should have zero doubt, which, right, is we will be building 10,000 Model 3s a week by the end of 2018. Now, that was total bullshit on multiple levels. One level is they don't have the freaking capacity to do it. The max steady state capacity for that car, which they've proven over and over again, is under 5,000 units a week, you know, or maybe 5,000 units a week if they're also going to build S's and X's. So that was bullshit, and they don't have the demand for it anyway. But to the bigger question, which is, you know, how many wrong predictions can this guy make, or however you phrased it? Look, there's a constituency of and it's an ever diminishing constituency of hardcore Musk fans who, you know, similar in a way to the hardcore Trump fans, who are like, yeah, you know, we know they won't even admit he lies. They'll go, yeah, we know he exaggerates a lot, but, you know, he gets it done eventually. And, you know, and he's our exaggerator. He's on our side. He's exaggerating, you know, for us and for our benefit. So,
hey, Ross Gerber was out on Twitter today praising Elon Musk, okay, saying he can't believe he has a chance to buy shares at $300 again and that everything's going to be fine. And duh, you know, he needs to lay off some staff in order to, you know, duh, he's got to cut costs, you know, saying it in that type of fashion. Like, this is how everybody else does business.
Ross Gerber is probably the dumbest buy-sider on Wall Street. I mean, there are some sell-siders who are dumber than he is, but he's the dumbest guy I've ever heard on the buy side. So I don't even bother talking about him unless somebody else brings it up. But, you know, so the point is that you reach a certain point. Okay, I had this discussion, funny, with somebody last night. So the Washington Post has, like, the Donald Trump lie tracker.
Right.
And I looked at it last night, and they have the number is up to, like, I don't know, 7,800 specific lies that they itemized that they caught Donald Trump in. You know what, Washington Post? You could have just fucking quit after lie number 25, because there are a constituent of people
right.
who just give a flying fuck. And, you know, then there's the other opposite side, the Trump derangement people who, you know, after one lie, you know, they hated him. And that lie happened, you know, when the guy was in the crib 1 hour
40
old.
Years ago, right?
So 72 and a half, however old it is, years ago. So, you know, so that's what it is with Musk. So to your point, his constituency doesn't care how much he lies because they think they're lying for him. Now, that said, you know, people gradually drift away. And he lost a lot of people today, I have no doubt. And I have no doubt that he lost some of his big institutional investors today, because, you know, those people need to see the growth. And he basically said, this is not a growth company. We're trying to survive. And by the way, you note that something he didn't say today, which he has said multiple other times, is he didn't fit in there. Hey, you know, we and Tesla and Ford are the only two American car companies that never went bankrupt. He didn't say that today.
Yeah, but I don't think that's not something that he said so consistently that the omission of it today is worth noting, I don't think.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe, you know, but at any rate, he has
said that a couple of times, but he doesn't say it. They're not going to put it in a fucking company press release.
Well, he put out a memo, when was it, last fall, when they laid off some percentage of the workforce, right?
Yeah, 9%? I think that was 14. I can't remember, but yes, they did. They did layoffs last fall, too.
And I think in that memo he specifically said that. So, you know, I don't know. But the point is that
what has he said? He has certainly said that if he tried to make the $35,000 version of the Model 3, the company would go bankrupt. I mean, that's almost a direct quote. That's paraphrasing what he said.
Yes.
But he said something. He said, we can't fucking do it. We can't do it or we go bankrupt. And now he's laying off staff, saying he's making these layoffs because he needs to make it. And the two outs here, Mark, are the following. The carrot on the string here for the people that remain, and I do agree with you that every time something like this happens, it is like a wave washing on the shore of Elon Musk fans. And every time something like this happens, or that horribly embarrassing, boring company tunnel reveal happens, it whisks away a couple more people out to sea until eventually there aren't a lot of people left standing. But what I'll tell you is,
That's a beautiful metaphor.
Well, thank you. The carrot on the string for these people is still probably two things, right? One is Shanghai, which still there's no Gigafactory there, and we've had no 8K filed on how they're going to finance that deal. So far, we've seen some nice photos today. I saw a couple today, a couple of dump trucks, a couple of bulldozers flattening out the land, maybe some guys sitting around eating fucking lunch. I don't know, you know, but anyways, didn't look like too much was going on there, number one. They have a nice fence. They built a nice wall around the property or whatever. But no, it doesn't look like any tangible construction. That's one. So that's kind of an offshoot that Musk can kind of direct attention to.
Let's talk about it for a second.
And two,
for a second?
Yeah, let me say the second one. You can address them both. The second thing is the Model Y, right? So there's a couple people today that I talked to said, well, doesn't matter because in February he's going to shift all the attention to the Model Y, try to do another cash grab with the Model Y. And the realistic question at that point is, do people buy that car is producible, given the fact that they don't seem to have any money for CapEx, given the fact that they would need another line, given the fact that they may need to stop the Model 3 line in order to make the Model Y, and given the fact that the fucking car he promised 3 years ago still has not been delivered. Mark Spiegel, go.
Well, okay, so let's deal with the China factory first, because they're both related. The story that was in the local Chinese papers, which I saw on the website of one of them and ran it through Google Translate, was that the Shanghai government was essentially leaning on the local banks to give Tesla low-interest loans to build this factory. Now, I only saw one account of that, but Tesla has talked about in the past, you know, borrowing local money. Listen, maybe they can do it. Maybe China wants to do that either as a sign of goodwill to the U.S. or to, you know, create local jobs or whatever the hell it is. But Tesla will wind up borrowing, you know, $2 billion to build a factory. And then they won't have enough demand for the cars in the factory. By the way, the timing, of course, the world record for getting an auto plant up and running was Volkswagen did a project in China that opened, I think it was this past fall or maybe a year ago. And it was from when the shovel went in the ground, and we could say, okay, today the shovels went in the ground or this week, it was 23 months. And that was Volkswagen, okay? Volkswagen has over 100 plants around the world. They know what the fuck they're doing. So in the best possible scenario, this factory would be open in 2 years, not later this year. Now, I mean, later this year, could they ship, you know, 90% assembled, 90% built cars into China and have a couple of people, you know, bolting the wheels on and calling it assembly plant? Sure, that would be typical Musk bullshit. They could do that, you know. But in reality, as a real factory, best possible case, if they get it financed, you're looking at 2 years from now.
And two weeks, Mark, it's already February.
Right, okay, but whatever. So call 2 years. But the point is, China is an electric car dogfight, okay? There are so many electric car models being rolled out there right now, both by native Chinese companies, you know, BYD and a whole host of startups, and joint ventures, you know, with BMW, VW, the Japanese companies, GM. I mean, it's a fucking dogfight. They could get this factory built and financed, and the factory could be in fucking bankruptcy in 11 months, you know?
Right.
It is not a slam dunk that there is going to be demand in China for the initial 250,000 a year capacity of that factory. In fact, I fucking guarantee you there won't be, much less the 500,000 a year capacity that they say they'll eventually scale it up to. So if let them finance it and build it. It'll just be another source of draining debt. But if they do that, and you know, let's say real demand in China is, you know, 2,000 Model 3s a week. Let's say 100,000 a year or whatever. Well, that would free up that capacity, you know, for Fremont to build a Model Y. So, you know, let's say I'll pull a number sort of out of my ass, but not totally. But, you know, let's say worldwide ex-China combined, you know, Model 3 and Model Y demand, because the Model Y will heavily cannibalize the Model 3 for sure, like crossovers do that to sedans. Let's say world, you know, ex-China, let's say worldwide demand for both models is 200,000 a year. You know, let's say 100,000 in the U.S. and 100,000 in Europe, and then they sell 100,000 in China, let's say. So anyway, they could build the Model Y in Fremont, is what I'm saying. You know, they'd have to tool up for it, obviously. Or, you know, maybe they tool up for it in Nevada in the Gigafactory or something. I don't know if they get the workers there. So, you know, it'll take money, you know. It'll take, you know, probably at least $1 billion, right, to tool up for the Model Y here. And then, of course, in China, that's another couple of billion with the factory. So, but there's no money. I mean, why haven't these guys raised capital? Why is Musk laying off all these people and obviously drastically slashing CapEx and research and development, which he needs for all these products he's talking about? Why didn't he just go out to the capital markets and raise a couple of billion dollars, you know, a month ago, or before anything crashed, let's say, you know, in October or whatever, and then, you know, he could raise another couple of billion later this year and he'd be set. And we've talked about this before. So we don't know if the SEC isn't allowing him to do it, or we don't know if the investors are saying, fuck you, Elon, you've burned too many bridges. We're not giving you any more money. But whatever it is, it doesn't make sense that he hasn't done it, you know? Now, could somebody come in, I mean, like a real strategic something or other, and say, look, this company needs at least $5 billion to right the ship. You know, we'll put in $5 billion at a, you know, at a $20 billion post-money valuation, right? So, you know, that would value the company now as it is at what? Like at the equity part of it. At what? Like 15? Actually, there's 10 debt. So even that, you know, maybe somebody would come in at for half the company at $5 billion. You know, whatever it is, you come out with a low double-digit stock price or maybe a single-digit stock price. So that could save them from bankruptcy. That might be what happens here. It might not totally.
But you have a lot of work to do, right? If that's your planning, you're the investor there, and that's your strategy. Where does the cleanup begin? Number one, I mean, that's a plan that would be, it would have to be very robust and very complicated. And I don't know. It just seems like if you're going to invest, then you just wait until you get a shot at dip financing, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, I'm throwing it out there as a possibility. I'm not saying it's a likelihood. You're right.
It is a possibility, though. Look, many people have invested larger sums of money into worse shit. And so...
Yes, although it was in a different time in the investment cycle.
Right, that's
and
true.
And it was before people saw all the liabilities that are out there now for Tesla. I mean, you know, Tesla's sweet spot would have been like, you know, maybe right when it announced the Q3 numbers. Like
right.
That week, it should have found some dumbass, you know, other than Larry Ellison, who's certainly not a dumbass, but on Tesla, Larry has been a dumbass. He's a brilliant and a shark of a businessman and a better businessman than I'll ever be. I have nothing bad to say about his business sense things, but I can say he did no homework on Tesla, and you can tell by the reason he bought it. We talked about this. Oh, he lands rockets on barges.
Right.
You know,
it reminds me of that.
Nuts, you know. Anyway, so, and Larry didn't put the money into the company. He bought the stock in the open market. They're asshole buddies. Why didn't Larry say, hey, Elon, let me put $1 billion into the company. You can, you know, issue me some stock. Why didn't that happen? Is there a legal issue with that? One fear of Musk is he knows this thing is an overvalued joke. And he wants to keep the float as restricted as he can in order to sort of prop up the stock price. Well, if Larry Ellison had done a deal with him and came on the board, that stock wouldn't have been in a float. You know, that would have been tied up restricted stock. Larry might have even taken it unregistered. So I don't know why he's not raising capital, but the fact is he hasn't. And now he's in a really bad, ugly position if he even can raise capital. And this is not a growth story. And anyone who owned this because it's a growth story, bye-bye, they got to get the fuck out of this. And that's all the funds that own this, because there sure as hell aren't any value investors who own it. And when you have a stock that's, you know, that's down 10% today or more, you know, you're not going to get any momentum investors owning it either.
Yeah, no, you just reminded me of that A&W commercial where the guy sits down and he's like, so I'm dumbass material all around. So am I your man, Mr. Dumbass? And the guy's like, my name is Dumas.
Seen that, but it's funny. It
oh,
funny.
Yeah. As, yeah. Anyways, that's what I was thinking about for the last 5 minutes while you were talking. Sorry. some stupid commercial.
I bring like, that out in people. It's
from like
interesting.
15 years ago.
Anything.
You never seen that commercial?
No, but you know, I literally... I'm not some snob, by the way. I just don't have time.
I literally have not watched
TV in like months and months and months. In fact, I'm waiting for this fucking company to just file and go to zero, and then I'll be able to watch TV again. I just don't have any time.
Yeah, but this is it's from like 10 years ago, right? The kid goes in for a job interview. It's an A&W root beer commercial. The kid goes in for a job interview. There's this Mr. Bigwig sitting behind the desk, right? Big guy, nice suit, you know, kind of looking like a kingpin, right? And his nameplate on the front of the desk says Mr. Dumass. And so the shot is of the kid in the interview, and he's like, I got to tell you, I'm dumbass material all around. You know, I wake up dumbass, I go to sleep dumbass, and I want to work for you, Mr. Dumass. and the guy's like, my name's Dumas. So, anyways.
That's funny. Yeah, that's great.
So listen, even if the Model Y works out, even if Shanghai works out, right? Now that I've distracted us from the conversation and interjected my IQ of 50 conversation into the middle of it, your reasoned analysis. When we get to Shanghai, we get to Model Y. Let's just say they both work, right? Let's say the Model Y really catches everybody's attention and they're able to generate some cash from it again. Yes, lo and behold, they have a whole new slate of reservations they're going to have to deal with. Whatever, let's not think about that. And let's say they get financing from some people in Shanghai. Some local banks come through. Musk gets a low interest rate. Both of those projects go forward. From there, how do you justify the company's valuation still? And that is a best case scenario. How do you justify the valuation?
Right, you cannot. You cannot. I mean, again, I'll say it again. My guess is, you know, worldwide steady state demand for the combined Model 3 and Model Y, you know, might be 300,000 units a year worldwide, you know, 100 in each of, you know, U.S., Europe, and Asia. And, you know, that's like a tiny little car. That's not even a financially viable car company, especially as Model X are just about to get just fucking crushed and destroyed by Porsche, Audi, BMW in 2021, Mercedes, which is going to have every single letter in the Mercedes line, you know, every single class, right? The A, the C, the E, the S, the whatever. Every single one is going to have a fully electric version by 2022, which that's only 3 years from now, right? So Tesla, the funny thing is, and maybe we talked about this, I don't remember, but at one point I had written this article years ago for Seeking Alpha that the best way and the only way for Tesla to survive is forget the mass market, you know, just go way upscale with like these super duper high performance electric cars, right? The whole thing, right? And Musk actually must have read that. Because a couple of weeks later, unprompted, he said something like, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, some people think we should just go upscale and forget the mass market. Well, we're not going to do that. We're going to sell these cars to the world, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the point is, they couldn't even do that now. That Porsche Taycan is so fucking much better than anything Tesla could possibly come up with. I just saw a new video of it this week with that amazing Porsche rally driver driving it, Walter Röhrl. I don't know how you pronounce it. Anyway, guy's amazing. I mean, it is just the coolest, most badass car. And by the way, the first year's production, which Porsche was originally going to only build 20,000 in the first year, it's like sold out instantly. Like, you know, every dealer, Porsche dealer, has like a couple of hundred of reservations already. That's just in the U.S. So they're going to expand production on that thing. I don't know to what extent. And they already raised the price, essentially, because that's the best thing Porsche is good at. And, you know, now originally it was going to be like 80,000 before the tax credit. Now they're looking at like 90 or low 90s. Anyway, that's going to destroy. Nobody's going to buy a Model S with that thing. So what I'm saying is all Tesla is going to have really at this point are its mass market cars. And they're not going to sell as well as people think. Right. And they're not going to make very much money on them, if any. And it's not a financially viable company at this point, almost no matter what happens.
And just to repeat a point that you've said before that I agree with wholeheartedly, and I think if the listeners don't understand this, they will at some point. And if you're a Tesla fan and you don't understand this, you will at some point. There is a huge difference between just getting hooked on a Tesla and getting hooked on an electric drivetrain. People that sit in a Tesla and they drive it for the first time, it probably does feel like nothing they have ever experienced because of that electric drivetrain, because, you know, it's essentially, it's stop and go. It's, you know, the acceleration is unbelievable. It's unmatched. It's, you know, can't be matched by a conventional engine, rather. So when people start to figure out and test drive the Porsche Taycan, they start to test drive even, you know, slower, little bit lower class EVs, they'll start to understand that a lot of the appeal that's being attributed just to Tesla is really the appeal of the electric drivetrain. And the next thing is, because Tesla didn't do what we talked about, what you just talked about now, and what we have talked about on a past podcast, which is they should have just tried to become the Ferrari. They should have tried to become the ultra-exclusive luxury brand, which really from the get-go may have been the better model. Because they haven't done that, and because now they are starting to, in some circles, get a reputation for cars that aren't, you know, maybe not the best quality, and maybe the service isn't fantastic, and, you know, they're laying people off, and, you know, it looks kind of like the adults aren't running the show at the company. Because some of that has kind of crept into the reputation, you can't help but think that when you park a Porsche next to just take the top end Tesla Roadster, the new one in 2020 that's coming out. You park a Porsche next to that, the Porsche. Listen, I'm just saying best case scenario.
I know.
Just best case scenario, right? You park the Porsche next to their best vehicle, and you ask somebody to walk up and pick the luxury brand, and the answer is going to be the Porsche, because always been a luxury brand, and it always will be.
Well, by the way, it's not just a matter of quote-unquote brand and image. The interior of a Tesla is like a shit economy car.
I know that, but that's the point I'm trying to make is just from a luxury standpoint. What's going to be appealing to the luxury buyer?
Right, but my point is that, and we're making the same point, really, that, you know, with these Porsches and Audis and the BMW and the Mercedes, you'll be able to enjoy everything you love, along with the interior and everything you loved about a real luxury car, because Tesla doesn't have that luxury inside. Now, by the way, let's just go back, you know, a minute here, and let's talk about what I think the real reason is why Elon Musk, the real reason he didn't want to build an exclusive high-end vehicle is it would have been a much smaller company. You know, it might have been nicely profitable, but it might have only been worth $10 billion or something like that, right?
Right.
And, you know, on a company like that, you're no longer one of the richest guys in the world. You know, you may not be able to have a G650 ER to commute every day and spew your filthy carbon. You might have to, you know, have a G450 or 550 or something.
Oh, the horror.
You're not going to be dating, you know, A-list Hollywood ass. You know, you're going to wind up with maybe somebody like
Kathy Griffin.
And, you know, because, I mean, listen, you know, I mean, what's your name? Amber? She's A-list. She could probably read a balance sheet or a P&L, or she has people who can. And that's why, you know, now he's dating Grimes, right? But he might not even get Grimes with a company of that size.
Well, I'm not sure that they're still dating, are they?
Oh, yeah, no, they're still dating. She just went with them to China.
Well, how about this? Let's dovetail that nicely into what we just learned a couple days ago, which is that Grimes and Azalea Banks, as well as several media outlets, are going to be subpoenaed or are allowed to be subpoenaed in conjunction with one of the shareholder lawsuits. So we are going to hopefully find out, you know, what was in the email, what was in the phones, what was in the mind of Elon Musk at the time of the funding secured fiasco. Did you hear about that?
Right. So let me first say, and I've never met her, and
Let's be civil, Mark, because I have a feeling what's about to come out is going to be horrifying.
No, it's not, actually. I think Azalea Banks is fantastic in terms of what I've seen from her on Twitter and Instagram, where she just totally, like, gets it, you know? I don't know anything about her background. I've never seen pictures of her, but she is a street-smart, highly intelligent chick who totally, like, has put this picture together really well. The question I have, and look, I'm no expert in this stuff, is, I mean, this stuff happened months and months ago, and now they get ordered to preserve it? I mean, are you telling me those phones weren't wiped ages ago? I mean, what does that mean? I mean,
yeah, she's put up stuff before.
Can they go to Verizon or AT&T and get all the texts now, regardless of whether the phones were wiped? I don't know.
Well, she's put up stuff before alleging that she had been hacked, too.
Well, she said that, and she said that she charged, alleged, that people from Musk's team, like, demanded that she hand over her phone. I don't remember if she had or not. She might have even said she did at some point and then got it back. I don't know. And what I'm saying is, I don't know what those lawyers are even going to get at this point unless all that stuff is sitting on a server somewhere with the telecom companies. Maybe it is.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Well, I mean, look, for sure the NSA has it all, because the NSA is fucking listening to this thing while we're doing it on the phone. So, but I don't know if they're going to be willing to give this up for Azalea Banks.
They're losing some brain cells if they're wasting time listening to this podcast. I got news for you. I feel sorry for
them. I'm not listening, but they could listen if they wanted to, and this is sitting on a server somewhere also, you know? So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what plays out there, but I mean, let's face it, that's a sideshow. That's supportive of that's about the 420 lawsuit, right? But it's a sideshow to this gigantic Tesla demand cliff, you know, competition, which is part and parcel of the demand cliff. the fact that it's an essentially unprofitable business, the fact that Musk is a complete and total fuck-up as a CEO. He's great at raising money for ideas that other people rejected because they knew they'd never make money.
Did you see his tweet 2 weeks ago or last week where somebody had posted a GIF of the DeLorean from Back to the Future 2 hovering off the ground, and he said the new Roadster will be able to do something like that?
Yeah, so, you know, at first I thought, he's just joking. But he said, no, I'm serious. So, you know, he was either on drugs or just, you know, blatantly lying out his ass because he thought it would promote the stock. I mean, I saw all kinds of rebuttals. You know, somebody wrote a great blog post, and you probably saw it too, and I don't remember who it was, but anybody interested enough to still be listening to this dumbass conversation, you know, 45 minutes in, probably read it. But this guy wrote a thing that said, you know, everything Musk says about all this stuff sounds impressive to anybody who doesn't know anything about the specialty,
right,
you know, that he's talking about.
Right.
But anybody in that specialty or in that industry immediately spots him as being completely full of shit.
Right.
So whether it be artificial intelligence, car manufacturing, you know, rocketry, you know, cars that fly, whatever, you know, autonomous driving. I mean, the guy is just a first-class bullshitter, and there's been enough stupid money out there to buy into his bullshit.
So when he comes out and tweets something like, hey, we're going to put, you know, wherever he said, cold fusion rockets in place of back seats or whatever thing he said, you know, there was a physicist or somebody that immediately retweeted it and just said,
yes,
you know, hey, look, 3 seconds would never happen, would be too loud. Thank you. Have a nice day. You know,
I saw that. Yeah, I guess we both saw the same thing. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's like we've probably talked about this. I just said it a few minutes ago, but Musk's thing is he takes these really, really cool sounding ideas that anyone with any fucking sense or knowledge said, yeah, that sounds really cool, but it'll lose money, that business. And he like starts the business, and then what does he do? He fucking loses money with it, you know. It's like, I don't think, like Larry Ellison, he lands rockets on barges. You know, we talked about this many times, but it's not an accomplishment to do something that any other aerospace company could have done if they thought it was worth doing, and it isn't worth doing.
Right.
It doesn't save money.
Well, that's like I've tweeted out several times. I mean, you give me $10 billion in investor capital and, you know, I'll put a rocket in on a barge. You know,
exactly,
I can hire a team
Musk
around me.
Musk's skill is defrauding people out of that $10 billion. You are not good at that. You are not a good defrauder.
I'm not good at much. I got to ask you, we have a long weekend coming up here. You have any plans for the weekend?
No, absolutely not. I'm just going to be on Twitter, like, you know, 24/7.
That sounds awful. That sounds horrible and pathetic. Just so you know, even I have plans. I don't have much of a life. The other thing,
I'll see a few people socially, but no, I really have no plans. I never have any plans. I'm not complaining. I like what I do. It's fun.
Photograph of you sitting brushing your teeth on the toilet, looking at the computer,
that was completely staged. I wasn't on the toilet. I was brushing my teeth. That was completely staged. I actually would be on the toilet if it were a real photo, but the Washington Post didn't want to post that, and I didn't actually even want it. And by the way, just to be clear, I'm not at my desk now.
Nobody wins when that photo goes out. Not the Bears or the Bulls. That's a.
By the way, it's kind of ironic how many Tesleming idiots were like, "Oh, he has screens in his bathroom. Like that's any big fucking deal." Meanwhile, their god hero put out a fucking fart app on his cars. I mean, this fucking idiot Musk, right? His fucking cars are falling apart, right? You can't get in for service. The screens are blacking out in the middle of everything. You open the trunk when it's raining and water pours in and the Brazilian rainforest molds growing in your trunk. And he's diverting engineering resources to making fart noises, you know, for his cars. Okay. I'm not, like, holier than thou. I mean, I am sort of a highbrow person, as you can tell from my language on these calls. But, okay, I can see the humor in a rather scatological way of fart noises on a car. But that's something you do when everything else on the car
is perfect. when everything else is perfect and you're generating cash and literally you're sitting at your desk fucking watching the money pour in and you're like looking for something to do. You don't make it a priority. And there's been all types of little stupid fucking gadgets and Easter eggs in the software and on the car because you know what? Look, I know guys like Musk, okay? They're dorks. He's starting to embrace his dorkdom. I understand. I have some dork in me as well. There's nothing wrong with that. I played Dungeons & Dragons. I used to like computers a lot. I understand the appeal of Easter eggs. I used to like finding them in operating systems. That used to be, oh, I get all excited about that, you know? So, like, I get kind of like where his fucking dorkdom comes from a little bit. However, having said that, you know, you can only play to that audience of fucking Renaissance Fair individuals or Dungeons and Dragons players for so long before you have to focus on actually playing to Wall Street and playing to the consumer public. You know, 9 out of 10 serious car buyers that walk onto an Audi lot are not going to give a fuck if the car makes a little noise here or there, or it does something like lets you paint on the screen. Nobody, you know, if people want to do that, they would be sitting around on Microsoft Paint on their touchscreen laptops. They wouldn't be sitting in the driver's seat of their car, fucking around, you know, playing with, you know, the Paint app or whatever he's got on there. Yes, there's a certain subsect of people that appeals to, but not people that are serious car buyers that are spending $60, $70, $80, $100,000 on a car. And so him making that a priority is just a microcosm of how out of whack the dude's priorities are. Like that, like you're saying, man, that's the cherry on the top. If you want to execute perfectly and create a beautiful cash-generating company that disrupts the industry, and then when all is said and done, take a little victory lap and take a little jab at the short sellers or put a little fucking thing in your software, then you do it. But you don't do it now when you're laying off workers. I mean, how funny do you think the workers that got laid off think it is that the car makes fart noises?
Right. So let's flip that around for a second and look at it from a slightly different perspective, which is this. They don't have the fucking money to redesign and fix everything wrong with that Model 3. I mean, they have to somehow, like, redesign the trunk so it doesn't fill up with water, right? They gotta rebuild the dashboard, you know, so that the touchscreen doesn't black out on it. You know, I mean, what I'm saying is there's real, you know, the door handles that freeze up. They gotta physically design a new door handle and maybe a whole new door, right? And maybe a whole new window mechanism. They may not have the money to do that, or, you know, doing that might take a good year to tool up for and put that into production. So maybe he's thinking, well, we can't really do what we need to do, or it's going to take a really long time. So let's distract people with the fart noises, you know? So they're doing what they can do rather than what they need to do.
And again, I'm not casting judgment. I like a fart noise just as much as the next guy. If you could add up all the time in my life I've spent laughing at people making farting noises dating back to grade school and other various instances all the way up through college and occasionally in a meeting now when somebody's fucking around, it would span hours and hours of my life because I do find fart noises and dick jokes very funny.
I wish I could fart into the phone right now just because you said that.
The point is...
I really have to take a leak, and I'm afraid if I try farting into the phone, I'll wet my pants.
Well, all right, that's enough. We're going to end this very soon. But the point of the matter is, this is not a Monty Python movie, okay? This is a public company.
We're going to end this. Oh, I'm sorry. I went a little too lowbrow.
This is a public company.
Sorry.
All right, a $60 billion public company. All right, this is not a fucking episode of Mr. Bean.
It was 60. Now it's more like 55, but okay.
All right, well, listen, we're going into a long weekend. I want to let you go, and I got shit I got to do too. But listen, I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully, a couple months, we'll have something else to talk about. Will you come back on again? And do you have any parting words before I rudely cut you off after I invited you on?
I have no parting words. I enjoyed it, as always. It was good to be on. And, you know, again, I mean, if you own this stock, man, you better realize that you're owning to pay this. You got to be owning an unbelievable growth story, and as of today, that story is over.
100% agree. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the one, the only Mark Spiegel from Stanfield Capital. Mark, thanks so much for coming on, brother.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
All right, again, this episode and all of my episodes were brought to you by my patrons. I really appreciate the support that you guys provide me on Patreon. Please, if you have a moment, I would love for you to go sign up. Show me a little bit of love. And if not, keep the emails, the Twitter feed, all that nonsense coming in. I just get a lot of good feedback and a lot of positive vibes from you guys. I appreciate the shit out of that, whether you are a contributor or not, although I do have a little bit more of a soft spot for people that give me money. With that being said, I am the fuck out of here. We got 3 days off. If you want more content this weekend, just play that podcast back again until I wind up back in the saddle early next week. Or you know what? Play it at half speed. This way everybody will be... We're speaking quickly anyway, so you just play it back slow. But for right now, folks, I got big things popping, and I am out of here. Peace!